Join me, please, in the reading of the Scripture, first by turning to 2 Kings chapter 11. I'll be reading the first four verses of the 11th chapter of 2 Kings, page 435 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 435, verses 1 through 4, chapter 11, 2nd. Stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively, but the second name or second word in verse 2 is Jehosheba, so that when we come to that, we might all say it as we should. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. They hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And let's pray. Father, bless now in this service, and just meet with us in the special way that's needed. Father, we're just dependent upon you tonight to give us what we need and what will be needed throughout the coming week. And so we ask for thy Spirit's power, certainly upon the preacher. Thank you for a faithful preacher. Thank you for a place to meet. Now open our hearts and give us attentiveness and alertness to know and hear and understand thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, if Jehosheba doesn't get him, Athaliah will. I want to speak especially tonight to all of you who have any influence at all over children, especially, am I talking tonight about little children? The story tonight is a story that has to do with a child in the Bible whose life was saved by a faithful lady. And the message will apply to everybody, but primarily will it apply to those of you who are expecting children, or those of you there who have small children, or those of you to whom has been discharged the obligation, responsibility of rearing little children. Our Catholic friends have said for years, give me a child until he is 7, to his 7th birthday, and you can have him. I guess all of us know that the most important years in rearing children or the first 6 years. And so tonight, I'm going to tell you, preach on a very interesting story in the Bible, and on the subject, if Jehosheba doesn't get him, Athaliah will. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, here we are, same preacher, and by the big majority, the same crowd of people, to review the same book, another portion of it, to emphasize just another thing about the book. Help us now as I speak and as we hear together. Amen. One of the most beautiful of all the words in the English language is the word grandmother. I never had a grandmother. When my mother gave birth to me, she was nearly 40. I was very young, but she was nearly 40. And so the truth is, by the time I was born. By the way, they say that people that are born in that period of a woman's life are usually genius. And I stand here tonight as living proof. And but it hurts me when you do what you're doing right now. But I can tell it. This can be one of those nights. I can tell it. I never had a both my grandmothers had passed away before I was born. My mother was still alive. But I hate myself. My mind gets like this. My one grandfather on my dad's side, there was only one on my dad's side, and you're egging me on. If you wouldn't laugh, it'd be a lot easier on me. I had one grandfather and no grandmothers. I took me 10 minutes to say that one sentence. But I've always thought the word grandmother is a beautiful word. It means so many things. It means love. It means cookies. It means somebody that cares. It means intercessor when you're about to get spanked by your parents. It means Snoopy. I like the word grandmother. Because of that, it's difficult to comprehend the kind of thing happening that happened in our story. Here's a grandmother named Athaliah. Now follow me carefully, because this is the most unbelievable story that you've heard in a long time. Athaliah was the mother of the king. Her son died, and in order so that she might become the queen and rule the land, Athaliah set out to kill all of her grandsons. Can you imagine that? A grandmother saying, I'm going to kill my grandsons. Why? Because they were the seed royal. And so she began to kill her grandsons because she wanted the throne for herself. I can't comprehend a grandmother killing a grandson. I can comprehend a son-in-law killing a mother-in-law, but I can't comprehend this. And so it was that she set out to kill them, and kill she did. She had all of them killed but one. And something amazing happened. And this is what it was. The preacher's wife, her name was Jehosheba, wonderful lady. Jehosheba runs down the ivory hallways of the palace and into the royal nursery and grabs the young child, wraps it, snuggles it to her breast, and rushes out the palace door and saves him from death. All but one of the grandchildren of Athaliah had been murdered by their ruthless grandmother. But this faithful preacher's wife, Jehosheba, rushes into the palace, grabs the child, snuggles him to her breast, and flees with him. Thank God for these modern Jehoshebas. Thank God for these people who care more for the children than the parents do. Thank God for these modern Jehoshebas who are more concerned about the future and the soul and the life and the decency of children and grandchildren than mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers are. Thank God for those bus workers who care when parents don't care. Thank God for those bus workers who love when parents don't love, who teach when parents don't teach, who clothe when parents don't clothe, who train when parents won't train, who hug when parents won't hug. Many a child over here would never hear the words, I love you, were it not for or some faithful bus worker, or some faithful Sunday school teacher who speaks those words while that child is here on the Lord's Day. Thank God for those Jehoshabas who run up and save the child when the grandmother is heathen and pagan and the mother and the dad don't seem to care. Thank God for Sunday school teachers, modern Jehoshabas who train and teach and sometimes clothe and love and pray and care and weep when parents do not seem to care. Thank God for departmental superintendents. Thank God for Christian school teachers and administrators. Thank God for youth workers who give love when no one else gives it, who give compassion and mercy and concern and care and guidance and training and leadership when no one else offers it. And so I can see this faithful preacher's wife who says they'll not have little Joash. That little baby will not be killed. Up the stairs she runs and risks her own life, and into the nursery of the palace she runs and grabs the little prince and runs down the hallways, wrapping him in her arms and snugging him to her breast and saying, "They'll not have him. They'll not have him." Oh, parents, take that child that God has given you and hold him in your arms when he's a little baby and point your finger toward hell and say, "You can't have him, old smutty face. You can't have him. The devil can't have him. Sin can't have him. Wrong can't have him." And then you give your life to seeing to it. The child is not given to that, but except that which is good and right. I'll say this again. If Jehoshua doesn't get him, Athaliah will. And if the bus captain Jehoshua's don't get them, the heathen Athaliah's will. I'm talking about the Athaliah's who stand in schoolrooms across this area and teach the boys and girls this Bible, not the Word of God. They're just as pagan as Athaliah of old was. I'm talking about the Athaliah's of evolution teaching who teach our boys and girls they came from monkeys and man came from a one-celled creature and they teach the heathen doctrine that Jesus is not the Son of God. Listen, listen. If we don't get them, that crowd will get them. If Jehoshua does not risk her life, Joash will die. If Jehoshua does not save him from the death of the hands of Athaliah, Athaliah will get him. If Jehoshua doesn't risk her life, then he's gone. The only chance in this world that little Joash, baby Joash, has is for some godly Jehoshua to say, "I'll get him." And go get him, she did, and carry him outside, she did. Spend your life snatching the children from the Athaliahs. Run with him, Jehoshua. Run! Run, Jehoshua! Run! Quickly, Jehoshua! Run! 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 Hold him tightly. It is life or death from the chop of the child. If you drop him, Athaliah will kill him. If you do not steal him, Athaliah will kill him. Run, Jehoshua, run, Sunday school teacher, run, bus worker, run, mom and dad, run, Christian school teacher, run, principal, run, youth worker, run, children's worker, run, nursery worker. If we don't get the kids, the heathen Athaliahs of this world will get them. So hold him carefully, Jehoshua. It's life or death. You hold a prince in your arms. Your arms hold the hope of the kingdom as you run down the hallway of the palace with that little prince in your arm, just a baby, as you run quickly down the hallway. Hold him tightly. Do not let him go. Be careful. Find freedom for him and hide him. You hold the future of the entire kingdom in your arms. Be careful, Susanna Wesley. Be careful as you hold little John to your breast. You don't know it, but you're rocking England in that chair. Be careful, Susanna, as you feed him his morning breakfast. Be careful, Susanna Wesley, as you nurture him and train him. Be careful, Susanna, you hold the future of a nation and an empire in your lap. Be careful, Mr. Kimball, as you pace nervously to and fro in front of that Boston shoe store to witness to a young man named Dwight Moody inside that shoe store. Be careful as you walk. Be careful as you talk. Be careful as you witness, for you hold America in your hands. Be careful as you teach that Sunday school class, for there sits in that class a young man who's going to change America and change England and lift two continents closer to God Almighty. Be careful, Mr. Kimball. Be careful. You hold the future of a nation in your hands. Be careful, Mr. Trebonius. Be careful, Jacob Trebonius. Be careful as you stand to teach your schoolroom. Be careful. There's a young man in that class whose name is Martin Luther. He holds the Reformation in his hands. He holds the country and, yea, much of a whole world in his hands. Be careful. Just a school teacher. Just a simple schoolmaster. But be careful. You hold the future of millions in your hands as you train him. Be careful, lay preacher, standing up to preach in a snowstorm in England with 15 people in the congregation, and the pastor didn't even show up because of the bad weather. Be careful, sir. Only 15 folks are there, but there's a little Charles Spurgeon sitting out there in the audience. Be careful, sir. Be careful. In the message you preach tonight to those 15 people, you don't know it, but you hold England in your hands. You hold much of America in your hands. You hold the eternal destiny of millions of souls in your hands. Be careful, sir. You're just a layman. There are only 15 people here. But be careful, sir. You hold England and much of America and the world in your hands. Little Charles Spurgeon sitting out there. Be careful, aged pastor. Be careful, sir. You've not had a good year. It's been a bad year for you. And there are not many folks in the church now. But be careful, sir. Little Bob Moffat is out there in the audience. He'll go to Africa one day and become one of the great missionaries and pave the way for the Livingstons and others. Be careful, sir, while you preach. You don't know it, but little Bobby Moffat's out there. You hold the entire continent of Africa in your hands while you preach. Oh, let me tell you, be careful, Sunday school teacher. Be careful. You know not who is in that classroom. You may have America in your class while you stand there. The folly and the sin and the foolhardiness. A Sunday school teacher coming before hers or his class on Sunday morning, unprepared to teach the Word of God. Before you walk in that class, you ought to tremble and say, "Oh my God, who knows?" A Dwight Moody may sit in my class today. A Charles Haddon Spurgeon may be there. Be careful! Be careful! There may be a prince in your class today. Be careful, Sunday school worker. Be careful, bus worker. Be careful! Grade school teacher, be careful. Junior high teacher, be careful. Nursery worker, be careful. Beginner Sunday school teacher, be careful. Nursery teacher, be careful. Primary teacher, be careful. Junior teacher, you know not who sits in that class today. Florence Nightingale is in your class. Be careful, parents. A prince sleeps in your cradle. A prince plays in your nursery. A prince sucks from your breast. A prince sits in your lap. A prince toddles by your side. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. There's only one thing going to save America. Only one thing. Mr. Carter is not going to save this nation. And the Congress is not going to save this nation. There's only one thing in this world that could save America, and that's mothers. If we do not get back to our children and steal them from the dirty Dr. Spock pagan philosophy, we're wrecked in America. We've got to get back to it. You say, what can save America? It may be that young man that sits in your Bible class, Professor. That may save America. I'm sure that Susanna Wesley never thought England would be saved in her rocking chair. I'm sure that Mr. Kimball never thought America would be saved in his Sunday school class. I hear a critic say, Jehoshaphat, let that little boy decide for himself. Don't force him to leave the palace. Let him decide for himself. Ladies and gentlemen, this little boy had no choice. It was the loving, tender, protecting arms of Jehoshaphat or the wicked, cruel, deadly arms of Athaliah. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. this heathen, pagan stuff that says, let the child decide for himself, is as rotten as the hell that spawned it and the devil that started it. You don't let anybody, this child, decide for himself concerning right and wrong. You don't say bathe or not bathe, eat or not eat, eat what you want to eat. No, sir. 10,000 times no. Some heathen says, I've heard it today. Says, and last night I heard it. Said, you're just brainwashing those kids that come to your church. Now, boy, the kind of pagans that say that sure got some dirty brains that need washing of their own, I'll guarantee you for sure. I'd like to wash some of them out. Nothing wrong with brainwashing a child, he ought to bathe. Nothing wrong with brainwashing a child, he shouldn't drink poison. Nothing wrong with brainwashing a child that he shouldn't play with electric wall plugs. Nothing wrong with brainwashing a child so he won't play with knives and scissors. And there's nothing wrong with brainwashing a child so he won't go to hell either. Nothing. Burns me up. Boy, these folks that are experts at brainwashing call us brainwashers. Take a child when he's in the kindergarten and laugh at this book. You dirty brainwasher. No, you're not a brainwasher. You're a brain filther. You're a brain dirtier. You're a brain mutter. But what they mean in brainwashing, there's no brainwashing in this world. Listen, I'm not for what happened for the Jim Jones crowd and that Guyana business, but I'll tell you what, it's little league brainwashing compared to what the educational system of the United States of America is doing tonight. Little kids go to these government schools and they go like little paper dolls. By the time they're 13 or 14 years old, they're either on dope or liquor or pregnant, one or the other, many of them. Now then, we got the boy. Jehoshua, you have the boy. What shall you do with him? We've got to find a place to hide him. We've got to keep him from the clutches of Athaliah. And I want to say again, those of you that have babies in our nursery tonight, those that pat your cheek with their precious little hands and smile with their toothless smile, you ought to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to give my life to see to it that child amounts to something. You ought to give your life to it. Turn that television set off of these soap operas and train your children. Turn that box at night off of Dallas and Love Boat and Mark and Mindy and all the rest of that sorry stuff and train your children. Spend some time with your children. Love your children. Get close to your children. Teach your children. Care for your children. Train your children. See to it. And God has given them to you. And with all the zeal of Jehoshua, grab the child and say, I'll not leave him here in the devil's nursery. I'll not leave him here for the heathen to get their clutches on. I'll save him. I'll spare him. He's my child. Listen, I'll guarantee you one way every baby in that nursery can turn out right. I'll guarantee you how it can be done. If every mom in this room tonight would say, I'm giving my life to seeing to it my kids turn out right. If every dad will say, I'll see to it. I'll give my life to teaching. I'll give my life to training. I'll see to it. They turn out right. If every nursery worker and every beginner teacher, every primary teacher, every junior teacher, every youth worker, every children's worker, every Hammond Baptist grade school, junior high school, and City Baptist high school teacher will say, I'll give myself. If you're teaching in our schools just to make a living, then you're in the wrong place. You have no right to walk in that classroom tomorrow morning unprepared to give your life for those children. You ought to bow on your knees before you walk in every morning. You ought to bow on your knees and say, oh my God, 30 or 35 little children look to me as the person that occupies more time of their time than any other human being in the entire world. Oh my God! Help me to give them what they need. Our kids don't have to go to the devil. We've had schools long enough now, we shouldn't lose these kids. If moms and dads and teachers and youth workers join hands. Our kids can turn out right. But where shall we take him? We have the child. He's in our arms. Jehoshua has stolen him from the nursery. What shall she do with him? Well, let's see. Where is the last place that Athaliah is likely to go? Church. Church. Let's take him. And where is the best place for him to be? In the church. But he's only a baby. The church nursery is sort of dirty. That burns me up. Listen, church nursery in this church is cleaner than 99% of the houses here. But she says, I know what I'll do. I'll take him like a flesh. She takes him to God's house. And she puts that little Joash in the church nursery. Kind and gentle hands pull him to their arms. Thank God for that mighty army of people who make the first impression of any church worker upon the babies in our church. And don't you think for a single minute that many of our children do not have their entire lives determined by those godly, loving hands of the nursery work, in the nursery tonight who take care of our little babies. Those little babies know more than you think they know. If you don't believe it, you just leave one alone and spoil him. By the time he's a few weeks old, he knows how to get you back. Got more sense than you have. He out-tricks you. Put him in the nursery. You got a boy, first thing you do, give him a haircut. I'm at the hospital. You take him home to the hospital, for Pete's sake, don't put a dress on the poor little kid. Average kid, first thing he wears at home is a dumb little dress. Put some blue jeans on him. He's there for the house. Oh, okay, get a size 20 and put them on him. Wrap him in him. And then, the first Sunday, he's home. Put him in the nursery up here. Thank God for that mighty army of people who smile sweetly and hold them gently and rock our children tenderly. I was up the other day and saw one of our nurse workers rocking one of our kids. I guess the rock was about that big. I'm not sure how big it was. There, little Joash, the only one of Athaliah's grandsons alive. She doesn't know he's alive. The land doesn't know he's alive. And Athaliah reigns on the throne as the queen. Her dirty, wicked, filthy, murderous, bloody hands rule the whole kingdom. For 6 years, hear me, for 6 years, little Joash cared for by loving hands. For 6 years he hears hymns. For 6 years he learns scripture. For 6 years he memorizes scripture and builds his life there. It may not have been interesting all the time. It may not have been well planned all the time. But little Joash has his life in the house of God. Oh, somebody says, well, he won't know how to behave when he goes out in the world. Look, buddy, we don't plan for our kids to go out in the world. We don't have that in mind for our kids. That's so silly. Here's a soldier. He got enlisted in the army yesterday. Don't make him train with a bunch of other soldiers. He won't know how to act on the battlefield. Draft him one day and put him on in battle the next day. So he'll know how to behave. You'll know how to behave. You'll be 6 foot under. You take a soldier like they took me in World War II, and they put you together with other soldiers, and they train you, and they brainwash you. Man, by the time I got out of boot camp, anybody that had slanted eyes, I wanted to kill them. Anybody that had German... Anybody even knew a German, I wanted to shoot him. Man, they had me so mad. Ready to go. And by the way, when a child is 6 years old, he ought to be so mad at the devil, he'll never take a drink or never smoke a cigarette or never live in sin. If we do what we ought to do. 6 years. There he is. Thank God for Jehoshua, who saved the nation when she spared that boy. Thank God she knew where to take him. She took him to the church nursery. He got the nursery to the beginners. And then as a primary lad, oh, parents, little children, don't you think a child has to be 10 years old before you train him? Don't wait till he lies before you teach the truth to him. Don't wait till he's a drunkard before you teach him not to drink. Don't wait till he curses before you teach him how to speak purely. Don't wait till he's immoral before you teach him purity. When he's in the nursery, he ought to be taught and trained. As a little child, 2 and 3, you ought to see what they do in training those little kids, 2 and 3, in our nurseries. You ought to see what they do. Listen, our government's not dumb. There's not a move to have government-supported child care centers. That's not an accidental thing. And it's not by accident that these heathen liberals are fighting the child care centers of fundamental churches either. They full well know if they can get those kids, they can make socialists out of them by the time they're 6 or 7 years old. And they full well know if we give ourselves the training of our kids, we can make born-again fundamental believers who will live right and rear decent families and be pure and clean and right and holy. If we can have them and train them till they get 6 or 7 years old. And then comes the big day. At the age of 6. Get this now. At the age of 6, he's ready for the throne. 6 years old. He's ready for the throne. His hands are given the scepter of God's nation. His brow is given the crown. His back is adorned with a royal robe. At 6, he's the king. And the high priest and others come and proclaim him as such. And Athaliah hollers, "Treason! Treason! Treason!" And then they get that old gal and they start to kill her in the church house. And somebody says, "Don't kill her in the church house." And she's taken care of. And that little 6-year-old boy ascends to the throne of the whole nation. I see him sit on the throne. He's crowned as king. And he says, "I need help." And he calls the man of God, the high priest, and says, "Help me make decisions." And the high priest is his advisor. 6-year-old boy had more sense than Carter's got. That's right. That's right. Some preachers went to see Mr. Carter. And told him that they asked him to reconsider his stand on the ERA movement. He got furious. And so, here he is, the king of the land. And while he sits on the throne, I see a proud Jehoshua. Just 6 years ago, she risked her life. Just 6 years ago, she rushed into the royal nursery and grabbed that baby and fled with him. And brought him to the house of God. And tears stream down her cheeks. And a smile comes across her face. And her shoulders thrown back. And pride, justifiable pride, fills her soul. As she looks on the throne and sees the little boy who she spared. A proud, happy group of nursery workers. Watch the throne. One says, "I rocked him when he was a baby. I sang to him. When he went to sleep, I'd sing to him and rock him." You know, little babies know more than you think they do. You won't believe this, but I remember things that happened to me when I was an infant. I don't remember, a lot of stuff happened last week, but I remember a lot of things that happened when I was an infant. I remember when I was 1 year old, we moved from Italy, Texas to Dallas, and I was a year and a half. And I can recall, just as plain as day, stealing some cookies out of Mrs. Holly's cookie jar when she was babysitting for me one day. I do not recall what kind of cookies they were. I do recall what happened to me after I got the cookies. I can recall one day when I was less than 2 years old, as plain as day, remember, taking a whole bottle of aspirin. I said one time to my mother, "Mother, I took a whole bottle of aspirin one time, didn't I?" And she said, "Son, you don't remember that, do you?" "Yeah, I remember that." "Yeah. So why'd you take it?" "Oh, I had a bad headache." Ah, listen to me. That little baby that calls you mommy, who wakes you up in the night with a diaper that's soiled, whose little head wobbles as you try to aim with that spoon and hit it. You hit the ear, and then you hit the nose, and then you hit the Adam's apple, and finally you hit the mouth with that spinach. That's cruel. Have you ever tasted that stuff? Sometimes buy you some of that children Heinz spinach or Gerber spinach. Just take a few bites of it. I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll feed your baby pizza from then on. But I mean, that little baby whose head wobbles, and finally after 10 tries, you hit that little mouth and the spinach goes in and out it goes. It's your responsibility. Yours. I can still remember my mother, when I was 2 and 3 years of age, taking her old Bible, saying, "Son, this is the Word of God." I can still recall having to say it, "Mama, the Bible is the Word of God." I can still hear mother, as when I was just a little tight, rocking me and singing, "Bright in the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor can be guided across the bar if you brighten the corner where you are." I can recall mother just shortly after I learned to walk, sitting and looking at, showing me a picture of a wolf out on a, you've seen it, the wolf out on a hill. And mother tell me where that wolf lived. And that wolf was a Mr. Wolf out getting some food for all the little wolves. And Mrs. Wolf was home taking care of the cave for him, wherever wolves live. And mother tell me the story. And I can recall as a little baby, a little child, a tremendous influence those little stories had on me. Oh, moms and dads, the hope of America lies in that nursery up there tonight. The hope of America lies in your lap, in your rocking chair. I can see a joyous group of beginner workers who look at the king and say, "I taught him when he was 4. I taught him when he was 5. I'm so glad I did the best I could." I can see a proud group of primary workers who said when he was 6, he became 6, he was in our class and department. We taught him the best he could. And I can see a happy high priest or pastor who looks at him as he's on the throne and says, "For 6 years I've been his preacher. For 6 years I've tried to be faithful to him." Proud. I wish you knew how proud I am when I go to a place where I was Thursday and Friday night, Forest Park, Georgia. I wish you could know how proud as pastor I am and look up in the pulpit and see the pastor of that church, one of our boys. I used to take him soul winning when he was 12 and 13 years of age. I was his pastor when he was a junior higher. I counseled with him, counseled about going off to school. He talked to me about being about his last work. Told me about his call to preach, and then to stand in his pulpit and preach. Realize I'm standing in that fine church pastored by one of our boys. Folks, that makes it worth it. That makes it worth it. Young folks, I want to say a word to you tonight. You'll know someday, you don't know now. But you'll know someday. Please listen, all the young folks, listen to me. You'll know one day what it's all about. You'll know what it means, some of you, to take a little tyke and have the doctor come in and say, congratulations, it's a boy or it's a girl. No other choices. It's always one of the two. Unless it's like Jeff Colston here. Nobody's figured out yet. But and then you dream and you hope. And you wake up at night and feel the fevered brow. And you give an aspirin. You take the temperature and it's still 104 and a half or 105. You call the doctor. Some dumb lady answers the phone. Doctor's answering service. Where can I find the doctor? He's in Bermuda. You try to find a doctor. There's no way. You get on your knees beside the bed. And you say, oh God, what can I do? And then you take the little baby's clothes off his little shivering body. Burning up with heat and freezing to death with the breeze. You get some rubbing alcohol. You rub it over his body. Or some cold water. You put a rag or a towel down that water and rub it over his body. And every time you rub, you say, God, bring the fever down. Oh, God, bring the fever down. Oh, God, bring the fever down. You make his clothes or buy them. You wash his clothes. You rock him to sleep at night. You teach him to say his first word, which is for every baby, it's dad, dad. Everybody knows that's got any sense. I know you women don't think that's true, but you ain't got no sense no how. Dad, dad. And then you do without. You hope and you pray and you pray and you hope. And those little hands that used to pat you on the cheek and wave bye-bye. All of a sudden, they're wrapped around a cigarette. You'll understand someday. You don't now. You'll understand someday those little, that little mouth that used to say, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. You'll understand someday. And that little mouth becomes a gate for alcoholic beverages and becomes an exit for filth and vulgar words. Filthy and vulgar words. You'll understand it then. You'll understand it someday. And those little feet that are so cute. Little feet used to say, it's a piggy went to market. This a piggy stayed home. This a piggy had roast beef. Everyone could understand a pig eating roast. This a piggy had none. This a piggy cried wee 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 all the way home. This a piggy said I want some corn. This a piggy said we're gonna get it at. This a piggy said out of master's barn. This a piggy said I won't tell. This a piggy said wee wee wee. You understand one of these days when you do that and wash those little feet and then buy the little shoes and then see those feet. Go off into sin. You understand one of these days. Oh, young people, listen to me. There's no way you can understand what it does to the heart of a mother or a dad who cares when you go into sin. I was listening the other day, just writing down the names of some of the finest folks I know in the world whose children have gone into sin. I just listed them. Some of my dear preacher friends. My heart broke recently. One of my preacher friends came to me and said, Dr. Hiles, my boy's a hippie, living out in California, running around the hippie crowd, living a communal life. What can I do? One of the dearest friends I have in the world, his wife called me just the other day and said, our boy is not only on dope, he's married, he's divorced, he's married again, he's divorced, but he's selling dope and all of that. He's in the dope traffic of peddling dope from other countries to the United States. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Oh, young people, if you just knew. If you just knew. If you just knew. And so there's the king. 6 years old. Sitting on the throne. While happy nursery workers clap their hands. Happy beginner teachers wipe tears from their happy eyes. Joyous primary workers rejoice and jump up and down and say, long live the king. And a happy pastor finds it's worth it after all. And the pastor's wife turns to walk to the corner and says, thank God. Thank God. I went one night to the palace nursery and grabbed that little body and took him. I guess what I'm trying to say is twofold. Young people, make it worthwhile. I stood before the student body of Hiles Anderson College the morning or two after the fire at the dormitory. And I said it, and I mean it. After that whole dormitory burned to the ground, and one of our students go bad. Dr. Evans sat in my office yesterday morning. I've never seen him so shaken up. I've worked with him for years. He's one of the finest men I've ever met. And Dr. Evans sat, he said, preacher, he said, this one hits me harder than any of them. And we've sat in the office time and time again and shook our heads, having to do what we didn't want to do. And he said, this is the toughest one that I face. You see, we'd rather see the buildings burn than see you go bad. I wouldn't trade the life of one young person, not a single one of you young people. I wouldn't trade one of your lives for the whole building at Hammond Baptist High School. If I had my choice tonight for the building to burn or one of you kids to go bad, I'd say burn the building. Burn it. I mean it. I mean it. Buildings aren't important. Buildings don't live forever. Buildings don't go to eternity. Buildings don't have eternal souls. It's not very much to you to turn on the rock music. Doesn't mean very much to you. Doesn't mean very much to you to use some dirty words. Doesn't mean much to you to get a bad spirit, give your life to sin. It means an awful lot to us. An awful lot. So tonight, I, as priest of the story of Jehoiada, I'd just like to give myself again to do what I can to try to spare the kids. And I stand tonight to ask you to join me, moms and dads. Let's do all we can to save them. I ask all of you that teach in the children's departments and rock the babies in the nurseries and teach in the schools, I ask you to give yourself. A little Joash sits here somewhere. I don't know where he is, but he sits somewhere tonight. A Spurgeon. A Moody. A Billy Sunday. A Martin Luther. He sits somewhere. He may be in your class tomorrow. He may be on your bus next Sunday. Let's give ourselves. I'll close with something I've said so often before. The hardest thing in my ministry I ever had to do was stay at this church. I don't like to go back over it. Don't like to think about it and don't like to remind you of it. But 21 years ago, right now, I was wrestling through the night about whether or not to consider to come to First Baptist Church Hammond, begging God by day and begging God by night to not make me leave the church I love so much in Garland, Texas. We came. Becky was 7. He was 5. Linda was 1. Almost 2. Cindy wasn't born. The battle started. They tried to set her house on fire, did set the garbage cans on fire underneath the drapes that are inside the garbage, which is connected to the house. In 15 minutes, the whole family had been burned to death. I don't like to say much about it. And certainly, I'm not pleading for sympathy. But the next night, I heard this little voice over here of a 5-year-old Dave Hiles cry, "Daddy? Daddy?" And I walked in his room. Big old tears streaming down his cheeks. His lips were quivering, and Dave said, "Daddy, are they going to try to kill us again tonight?" And I said, "Of course not, son." He said, "Daddy, would you sleep with me? Would you stay in here?" And I sat beside his bed. I heard a little 7-year-old voice say, "Daddy, can I come in there?" And Becky came in. And Linda. And for several nights, about a week, I sat beside his bed. Awake. So he could sleep. We had our fight. Knocked down drag out here at the church. We didn't know whether I could stay or leave. It was a big battle. One night we gave a night to the church. Anybody could ask anything they wanted to ask. I didn't want to stay. And I remember how that a lady stood up back over here in the old building that burned. And she said, "Reverend Hiles, if you stay here, what kind of youth program are you going to have?" And I, among other things, I won't go into all I said. I said that night, "Give me one generation. Let me have a chance at one generation and see." The generation's grown now. The kids that were 12 are now in their 30s. The juniors are now in their 30s. The primaries are in their late 20s. Little beginners in the beginner department are now in their 20s. Children yet unborn are now in their late teens and early 20s or 20. I love to sit on the platform speaking to a great student body about as big as this, these two sections here last Friday morning in Forest Park, Georgia, and have Tom Smith stand up and say, "Young people, this is my preacher. This is my pastor. I thank God he came to Hammond when he did. And I thank God that he stayed. Now I've given my life to this thing. I don't play like you play. I don't take time off like you take time off. I've given my life to this thing. And kids, if you don't turn out right, I've wasted my life. That's the truth." And others of us have done the same thing. The other day I heard somebody say something about Jeff Colston. I was so proud. You couldn't understand it, Jeff, how proud I was. What a fine young man he is. And others of you. I'm saying, young people, make it worthwhile for us. And I'm saying, moms and dads, I'm 53. I don't know how long I'm going to last. But I still got a pretty good kick left. Give me another generation and help me. Let's join hands. Jehoshaphat, Jehoiada, nursery workers, beginners, primary workers, youth workers, grade school teachers and principals,